Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Time now for Ken and Curtis with Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
All right. Well, what we got today here, Curtis, is the first ever Atlantic Seaboard edition of the Ken and Curtis program. Boss man from Philadelphia, the suburbs of Philly, and Curtis from where? Palm Springs?
Palm Springs would be in California. Palm Beach.
Palm Beach.
The Atlantic Seaboard. And we are doing a split squad. I'm right down the road from Roger Dean Stadium.
Ooh.
And I am enraged. I just saw some news that ruined my day, that my man Bill and Jordan, Bill Belichick, were down the street at Mar-a-Lago. I got no invite for Thanksgiving.
Oh, no.
$350 a plate. Holy Jeez. Guacamole.
Well, they're, I mean, but they'll both have booze. Cabinet positions soon. I mean,
well, Bill's date was that she's got an elementary education locked down. So, anyway, but it's a little chilly today, about like 74, cloudy, but been gorgeous, been perfect. I missed the entirety of the chaotic 8 overtime Georgia Tech game. I'm sure Wiggy was happy somewhere, but I have to say, today, one of the more underrated good viewing experiences for sports fans, because you have all the rivalry games. It always starts at noon with Ohio State, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Which, and on WEI AM 850, by the way. Yeah, for all.
Oh, we have Ohio State, Michigan. Good,
we do.
Good,
yeah.
Good. I'll be rooting for Michigan, but I don't think that'll be a game. But 3:30, USC Notre Dame, great game. So a lot of good games on the docket today. Should be a Texas A&M, a bunch of them. So looking forward to it.
Okay, well, let's start football, because last week we started Soto. you were, it gets you in a bad mood right off the bat. Although there are reports. I mean, boy, are there reports that I'm ready to dive into today. It makes me excited to be a Red Sox fan again, Curtis. But
the guy that you cited last week as some, you know, one of the great prognosticators of all time, Jim Bowden, now says he's not coming. But carry on.
Okay. And, of course, we got to get the Peyton Pritchard. I don't know if you're a bigger fan than I am or who is in the city, but we're going to break that down.
Celtics talk is so nauseating. I like him more. No, I like him more.
Well, was great last night. No doubt.
He was awesome. He was awesome. The only thing – okay, carry on.
Biggest football takeaway from the week, all right? I would like and you can pick from a potpourri here. Obviously, we've got a Colts-Pats game that is not quite living up to the reputation that these two franchises have delivered over the last couple of decades. But you have the Chiefs winning in narrow fashion again.
What the hell was that?
I don't know what that was. You have the Packers beating Miami, who just beat the Patriots. So I don't know that there's anything there. You had the Thanksgiving Day games. You had Dallas winning. McCarthy staves off elimination. You get Eberflus fired with the Bears. You have Travis Hunter locking up the Heisman yesterday. Maybe that's a Patriots target. You mentioned the overtime, eight overtime games yesterday. Is there a football topic from this week that jumps out to you as one that's more important to the region?
So, for me, I stupidly, last draft, you know, our 10 months of draft prep, I did the Marvin Harrison Jr. over a quarterback take that was, in hindsight, incredibly stupid. But I do think that what the Chiefs and the Bills show me is that everything in moderation, including moderation, when it comes to needing the best top five receiver to win, not only did the Patriots of the last, you know, dynasty show that, you have these, the Chiefs and the Bills have each gotten somewhat better or as successful in the absence of Tyreek Hill and Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
And I just watch the great teams in the NFL these days, and the ones that are able to continue and repeat success are ones that don't have the top five receiver in the NFL. So the way we view the Patriots offseason, and Wiggy's been at the front of the line for T. Higgins, and maybe T. Higgins would be a guy that would be somewhat out of that same Diggs and Hill conversation, but you just need receivers that can catch the ball. You don't need the greatest receiver of all time. I mean, what the Patriots have is an abomination. It is a horrific collection of receivers. It is the worst position group of any position of any team in the NFL, and I think it's by a wide margin.
Yeah,
so if they improve if they improve that next season and have players that can just catch, you know, 80 to 85% of the balls thrown their way, they will be a dramatically better team. And the number of holes they have on the rest of the roster, I think if they go all in on a receiver, they may not have the destination of they may not end the season where they want to, if that makes any sense.
Well, yeah. Now, Hunter, who we've brought up before, is both a corner and a receiver, but looked so good on a couple of those catches yesterday. I can't say I watched the whole Colorado-Oklahoma State game.
I did. I actually scouted it.
Okay, well, good. I mean, give me the breakdown, because he looks like he can play receiver to me. And I think Tankathon is back on the tip of the lips if you're a Patriots fan, isn't it? I mean, don't you want to lose out at this point
and
get Travis Hunter and give it a shot?
Well, I think they're going to win one or two games max the rest of the way anyway. I don't think you have to try to lose if you're the Patriots. I think it comes easily to them. I would say any guy that, first of all, at this time every year, there are people that say, ooh, you know, there could only be two to three quarterbacks taken in the first round. And by the time you get to, you know, St. Patrick's Day, there are seven guys that are bubble first-round draft picks that end up going. So all the talk about Travis Hunter, it's going to be quarterback-driven in the first five picks. It always is. And he's not – I don't see a guy being a slash, and I don't think Alex Van Pelt would know that he played offense. So
That's true. It'd be very confusing to Van Pelt.
Right. He'd only watch half the offensive tape of the Buffaloes. So either way, I think the most interesting component to me of Colorado and where they are is not the Travis Hunter, the Heisman winner. I think it's the future of Deion Sanders. Because when it goes back to what I think is fascinating is Bill Belichick's future, I just wonder how Dion's telling everybody he's not leaving Colorado. He said the same thing at that university he was at before joining Colorado. It's what every coach says. It's what every candidate says before they announce their candidacy for president. They're not interested. I wonder if the Cowboys come calling, if that would continue. And the Cowboys are just, there's no way in hell they bring back Mike McCarthy and give him a new contract. And that's a destination where I see Dion and Bill sort of vying for an opportunity there. So I think it's been an underreported story. We always love the ascent and then the demise. So, like, Colorado was the best story in football. Deion Sanders had shown up in Boulder, Colorado, and changed everything and revitalized, redid how we coach college football. And then they fell on their face and everybody danced on his grave. And now this season, if it's possible, Deion Sanders has quietly done one of the best coaching jobs in America to get this team where they are right now. Nobody had them at this point in the regular season. You know, whatever they have, what, 9-10 wins? I don't even know. Either way, I mean, a great season.
But you're but you're not suggesting Deion to the Patriots, are you?
Well, I'm saying that he's going to be out there, and there's going to be, I don't know if it's the Patriots. All I know is talking to family and seeing the poll we did with the Greg Hill Show, I think it was, what was it, Wednesday, where do you want, let me just check that right now, do you want to have Jerod Mayo back as the head coach next season? It was something like 70-30 no. And so, yeah, so right now it's closed. It had 1,600 votes. 70.3% replied that they do not want Mayo to be back next season.
Yeah, but you know how this works. We learned this with the Antonio Brown polls. You polled at the possible
worst. Can we not talk about that in that way right after Thanksgiving?
But I mean, Mayo's at rock bottom. It was a bad week. I mean, it was a bad week that finished with a bad game with him calling out the team. And even that pissed off a lot of players like Ty Law. We just heard the replay of Ty again from Tuesday, and he didn't like that, you know, basically saying, I can't help them. So whether he misspoke or whether he continues to misspeak just because he doesn't understand how to deal with the media completely yet, which is odd because he was in the media, I don't know what it is, but it was a bad week. But he has a chance to redeem himself here at the end of the year. I do think these games are important for Mayo. You would agree he can reinstill some confidence from the fan base with a strong finish and needs to.
Yeah, I mean, but what does that look like to you? So they beat the Colts, they go to 4-9? So what, they end up with 5 wins on the season, they get one more than Bill had, they're 5-12, and what's the direction? Where are they? What are they doing? How are we optimistic about the future with Jerod Mayo?
Well, you've led the charge on bringing up Bill's record his first year,
I'm removing myself from the conversation. I'm saying I think that people have lost their mind. This team with Bill Belichick won 4 games. We all believe that Bill Belichick is the greatest coach in the history of the sport, and they won 4.
And they lost Judon and Bentley, which are big losses.
Well, yeah, and they lost Jabril Peppers, one of the best safeties.
Yep.
I mean, it's been up and down
Strange.
The line. They've had. I mean, by the way, Far do you think too. They're putting Cole? Do you think they're putting Cole Strange on the injury report just to mess with Bill? Did you see that? It just said out again. What a horrific pick. Like, what do the Bill people say about that? How do you defend that in any capacity? But either way, it's going to be difficult for Jerod Mayo to reassert himself because we all knew the season was going to be bumpy, and it has been.
Well, no, but I think what we're seeing is...
He has created a lot of these issues, Ken. Like, he has brought a lot of this backlash on himself in the way that he's answered questions or the way he's volunteered that the team was soft, then cleaned it up, and then volunteered, and then cleaned it up. It has been clunky in that way.
Yeah, but they responded to the soft thing. I mean, the thing that I think pisses off fans the most, and I would love the fans to speak for themselves on this, by the way. You can join the show, 617-779-7937. But it's just defensive incompetence. At a minimum, you expected Mayo to own that side of the ball and not let Tua have a best day, shred him, not have Stafford, Mason Rudolph, Trevor Lawrence, Aaron Rodgers, etc., embarrass your defense week after week. You expect Mayo, with all the guys, all the money they sank in that side of the ball, they can't get blown out. Like, they've got to shut down Richardson tomorrow. That's important.
I would ask, what on the defense has gotten better?
Ugh. No, I mean, nothing. I mean, Gonzalez
is
good.
What game have you seen change in the positive direction?
Right. That's what I mean. I mean, he's got to show the last couple weeks of the year they can handle Josh Allen twice, Herbert, Kyler Murray, and obviously you got to dominate Indy tomorrow defensively. That is huge, and that might cost Mayo his job if he doesn't do that.
Yeah, so I feel like – so I talked to some people, or one person, but on Thanksgiving, who is – he runs in very important circles that I do not. And James, no. And so and he was saying to me that there is potentially part of the reason Robert hasn't been inducted yet. And Gasper had a great column about this in the Globe. I don't know if you saw that, but pretty well done. Is that other owners perceive Kraft as a guy that doesn't reinvest the league money. That he says it's always been because he's smarter and better and all of these things. And that they look at what they spend on a year-to-year basis as insufficient. That he's pocketing money. And that's why some of the owners or people in power positions have pressured those that vote to not allow him into the Hall of Fame. And so I don't know. Obviously, it's one man's opinion, not mine. I just am reiterating what I heard from someone who did speak to, you know, one of the owners in the NFL that felt that way. So there's a lot of envy that's directed at Robert Kraft, and I don't think it would. The reason we say that Robert will never fire Girard is that it would make him look foolish, right? Like he's out there saying he's new 5 years ago, all of that, right? Well, if he feels like this is not going in a direction that he had anticipated, that it just didn't work out, and he doubles down on that decision, then he's further distancing himself from any potential Hall of Fame induction, which we all believe is what is most important to him, correct?
Yeah, but I really don't think firing Mayo hurts him any worse. I mean, you said it yourself, it might be the right move. 70% of the fans are on that side. He might get, right, you know, curry favor with the fan base by doing that. And here's a 978 texter that's kind of interesting. We need to get away from the Belichick tree. Is Mayo still, even though those two like don't speak to one another, he's kind of continuing Bill's tree. It's kind of accurate. I mean, he played under Bill.
I mean,
so that's a weird thing.
Right. I mean, I know you're going to have some earmuffs here, Ken, but Bill's tree without Tom is this.
Well, no, it's Saban. I mean, Saban's
okay,
the,
we're,
it's
not,
the one
we're not
branch
talking
of the tree.
About, we can go look and see if anybody from Rivers was a coach with Bill Belichick, but in the NFL, this is what it is. Saban in Miami, this is the result of Bill's tree, including Bill, in the absence of the greatest quarterback of all time.
Well, yeah, and maybe the texture's right. Maybe it's time to go completely opposite. You know, you go offense. You just rip it up and say, you know what, we got to just blow it up. Coaching-wise, front office-wise, we're going in a totally different direction. We've got Drake. Let's supply him with some offensive minds.
And I feel like if the Patriots, if they want to stick with Mayo and they find that, A, that's what they want to do, they don't want to quit on the guy, and B, they don't have somebody out there that's, you know, clamoring to come to Gillette Stadium, then what you do is you spend $6 million on Brian Flores as your assistant head coach, defensive coordinator. He has done, and nobody talks about him in the Vikings.
Well,
he's the reason.
Bill's tree. That's another branch on the tree.
Well, he's the most successful branch, and at least he's defense. I mean, Bill's coaches can coordinate, I guess, somewhat without him. But you bring in Flores. He is a guy that is he's an alpha, right? I mean, he's a guy that, you know, was too mean to Tua and all that, but he is going to be a guy that gets this building, gets this area, and he's kind of the Jimmy G to Gerard Mayo, right? Like, I'm going to be here, you're keeping the job, but this is the guy with the defense. You weren't able to show us that you can coach defense effectively in this role. Covington failed. We're going to bring in Brian Flores, and then you try and, you know, I don't know who's out there, but it's not Alex Van Pelt. And you just boost the offense, you boost the defense, you improve the coaching staff, as well as improving the players, and that would be an option as well.
Yep. Well, Ben Johnson. We're back to the Ben Johnson talk.
He's not coming here, honestly. I mean, there's a better chance of Juan Soto. I have
Mac
some
Brown.
Information about the Thanksgiving TV ratings that I think you'll find interesting later on.
I love your ratings info. We're off and running. It is the Ken and Curtis program here on the last day of November. You can join us, 617-779-7937. In particular, are you one of the 70% that voted on that poll? Or maybe you didn't vote, but either way, do you think Mayo, is his job in danger? Can he save it over these last couple weeks? Or would you rather them tank and get Travis Hunter? Those are two very different questions that aren't quite related. But anyway, what do you want to see from the rest of the year from the Patriots?
Travis Hunter is not going to be the first pick in the draft, Ken.
Well, you will pick him if you're the first pick in the draft.
Right.
That's so, that, I mean, you would get...
Or you trade back and you get Cole Strange's brother.
Right. Well, okay. All right. All right. Here's Zach Coe, who's in today with What's Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
The Celtics kept their NBA Cup hopes alive last night with a 138-129 win over the Bulls in Chicago. Jason Tatum led the way with 35 points. Peyton Pritchard with a career-high 29, including 19 in the fourth quarter. Celtics will need Orlando to beat the Knicks in order to have a chance to advance as the Eastern Conference wildcard in that NBA Cup. Next up for the season matchup in Cleveland with the Cavs. Tomorrow night, tip-off set for 6 p.m. Charlie Coyle got things started for the Bruins with a goal in the first 2 minutes of the game, and that's all the Bruins would get. They fell at home to the Penguins, 2-1 the final. Next up is the Centennial Game matchup with Montreal. That one goes down tomorrow at the Garden, puck drop set for 3 p.m. Final preparations are underway for the Patriots' Week 13 matchup against the Colts. The team has already ruled out guard Cole Strange as he works his way back from knee surgery. Wide receiver Demario Douglas, safeties Kyle Duggar and Jabril Peppers, and defensive end Dietrich Wise are among those listed as questionable. Pats and Colts kick off from Gillette tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. Final week of the college football regular season underway. Among the notable games today, Michigan heading to Ohio State, Auburn at Alabama, Texas A&M hosting Texas, and the Boston College Eagles are hosting the Pitt Panthers. Don't forget, you can hear coverage of the BC game right here on WEEI, starting with pregame at 2:30, kickoff set for 3 p.m. from Alumni Stadium. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Ken and Curtis coming up after this.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Your Ken and Curtis show broadcasting from remote locations up until noon today. We do have Michigan-Ohio State over on the AM. And, of course, Boston College. Curtis back on today. 2:30 pregame here on WEEI on the FM side for Pitt and closing out the year and clinching a winning record. So could be a good finish for Bill O'Brien.
You're going to head there with the family just 4 hours after this broadcast, get there for game time?
I'll be there. I'm going to zoom on up. We missed our pregame this year. We were going to do a big pregame blowout, maybe the bowl game. Maybe we'll travel for the bowl game. Let's see where they
are. Yeah, Shreveport, lovely this time of year.
Sun Bowl? Or is it, no, is it locked
Shreveport
in
is the Independence Bowl. That's what I saw this week as the CBS bowl prognosticator or projection.
We've been talking Mayo here to kick off the show. 71 texter. Gerard Mayo will gracefully be moved to some kind of front office role after the season. Do you think they could... Now, one of the great decisions in modern history is Brad Stevens getting elevated from coach to executive. I don't know that Mayo would go to GM, But I don't rule that out ever anymore, because the Stevens move was unbelievable. Great decision by Wick and Celtics management.
That is right. Oh, quick nugget while we're doing this. Also heard, I think it would have already been Pags if it were up to Wick, that if it were up to the Grosbeck family. However, the NBA is dead set on a certain number for the Celtics, and if the market doesn't dictate that number, they will themselves put together a group that buys it for that number, if that makes sense. So they are so horned up to get $5 or $6 billion, whatever the number is, because of the Vegas franchise that is yet to be sold, that this has to be at a certain place, and they aren't there yet. And so that's why my guess is, whether Courtney was right about Wynn or one of the casino people, who knows, but they are not going to be doing any low deal, and it's not because of any disdain or animus between Wick's family and Pagliuca or Rob Hale or whomever, that the NBA needs it to be somewhere, and it's not there yet.
No, but isn't Rob Hale capable of getting it there? Or we just don't know. That whole thing just is bizarre to me. Why Rob Hale isn't the front runner from start to finish, and this is a done deal.
I don't know how much money he has. I mean, God love him. But even if you're that wealthy and you invest, I mean, you are buying the Celtics at their pinnacle right now. The TV ratings are down. The NBA Finals ratings were down. You don't own the facility. We all know how difficult it is. I was thinking this week, I was talking to my dad about the last building in Boston, I think, was the Fleet Center, which was 95.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a generation since a building has been designed, built, and set up for a sports team.
Well, Gillette Stadium, I guess.
Gillette Stadium was not in Boston.
Oh, I got you. In the city.
Right. Like, I mean, the Yankees and the Mets have each built new stadiums in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. In Manhattan and in Queens. Like, or the Bronx and Queens. Like, it's, I don't know. It just doesn't happen here or back home. It just is very cumbersome, and I feel like even those guys that are flush with money aren't going to get to a point where then they have to then invest, because there's not going to be a taxpayer-supported plan, and I think that's as it should be, in Massachusetts or the city of Boston, where they're going to cover the expenses of all that infrastructure and everything else. So you're looking at a low end, $2 billion for the arena, right?
Yeah.
So you're buying the team for $6 billion. And then you're putting another $2 billion into an arena, and then it's, what, 5 years before you ever see any of that back? And in the meantime, you're paying $180 million a year for two guys.
I guess, but these revenues just don't go down. It is just, sports is the only thing left that unifies the country, and it just, people cannot get enough of it, and the values just keep going up with seemingly no end. So at some point, you'll make
the only one that does that is the NFL. Every other sport has had pits and ups and downs, and I would just, I hope it's Pagliuca. I hope it's Rob Hale. I hope it's a guy that gets the city or gal that gets Boston that can you know, understand the marketplace and get it done. I just am not as engaged with that. And I was finally given an explanation about why they have to do this for the estate stuff. So if Miss Wick's father were to just, God forbid, pass today, and they hadn't done all this due diligence, then they pay a tax on what the value of the franchise is now. And then they would have to liquidate that money, and then they'd be beginning the process when everybody who's bidding on the organization to buy it knows they have to sell it, if that makes sense. So they would lose all leverage in the process. And the guy I was talking to, he said that this is now going to be very common, because so many of these investors are reaching that point where they are seeing the end, and that they would be wise to get this in order before they pass. That's sort of why this is all happening. It's not
Scoops Curtis, man, you've done some deep dive on this stuff.
Well, I was fascinated by it because I didn't understand it. Like, I didn't understand why. I just figured you'd sell the team and then you get the money, you pay the tax. I didn't understand that if you were to pass prior to selling the team, or even prior to beginning the process of selling the team, that those that would be standing to gain from its inheritance would have to pay immediately, or not immediately, within a certain amount of time, with liquid cash, a tax that they don't actually have the value of in their pocket.
So basically, it's Bezos or nobody,
right?
It's got to be endless money.
Yeah, it's going to be a ton. I mean, it's just right. It's got to be $1 billion. It's got to be of the billionaires, the top 1% of those people that can actually get in on this,
which is incredible and probably not a good thing for the Celtics in the long term. I don't know. Maybe whoever this is will be invested, but people like that are just so. They have so much going on. Their portfolios, compared to what even we mock the Fenway Sports Group for, are just on another level.
Well, the other thing is, I just don't get, before we get away from this, was it Wick or was it, I don't know, the prior ownership? Why would you sign a 30-year lease or whatever it was with Jeremy Jacobs?
I know, that is, and obviously that predates Wick, right, in his
right.
group?
Like, what an idiotic. Anyway.
Well, 617 Texter says Encore would build a 25,000 seat arena and free rent to the Celtics. I guess, you know, if it's win, obviously they would. But
I think he would be doing that if he was buying the majority stake in the team.
978 Texter, how does the new Celtic owner make money? No arena, no parking, no money from use of the arena when the team is not playing at home. It is true. You wonder, like, you know, how you could possibly make money in the current deal, but I guess that's what you're saying. That's the point.
Well, I mean, I think, I don't know what the NBA number is exactly, but you're looking at about $200 to $400 million before you do anything in just TV revenue.
Can't get those, that concert money, which is huge. And by the way, I am hearing big news about AC/DC and a concert, so
I'm
very excited about that. Could be dropping tomorrow.
The last AC/DC concert I saw was at the end of Private Parts.
Well, that was a good one. Back to the Patriots, 240 Texter. I really believe if Kraft brings this regime back, he will have an infuriated fan base. He needs to bring in a new GM and stop with the pseudo-nepotism. Mayo and his staff and Wolf and his crew are laughable. Now, your dad's a season ticket holder, Curtis. Does he share that opinion? I mean, not to have him speak for the entire season ticket-holding fan base, but do you think if they run it back with Mayo and company, people are pissed?
Yeah. I think, well, with this I would stipulate that if they spend in the offseason and draft much better, then it'll all be on, you know, the performance on the field and how they do. It'll all be about a quick start. You know, obviously we thought that would help this year, but that was quickly faded away in the fourth quarter of week two against the Seahawks. So we're bordering on indifference with Patriots fans. Where I haven't seen TV ratings all that much. The ones I've heard have been very low. I've been told that they are concerned. And there's been some emails about, you know, my dad was offered, like, Optum seats or something. Because, you know, Field View pregame party. I don't know what the hell it is. But he's like, I've never been offered that ever, you know, for his normal seats.
Did he accept? Is he going Optum?
He's actually, yeah, he just moved all his money there. Optum is going to be overseeing the family. But no, he's not. He's going to stay here until it hits 80 again back home. But I find the general malaise among Patriots fans to be there. And I recognize that Mayo shouldn't be fired. Like, if you're just judging this on in a neutral manner.
Fairness. Is it fair?
It's not fair. It's not unfair to fire him after one
totally
year.
Totally agree. Particularly with, I don't know what's your number one reason it's not fair. To me, it's he doesn't have his full staff. He did not hire these guys. Right?
Right.
These are not his people.
And I will never, nobody will convince me that when I asked Mayo about spending, and he said we're going to burn some cash, that he thought he was being dishonest. I think he was assured something to that effect.
Does he hate you at this point? You have unraveled him multiple times this year, including this past week.
What a great answer!
We got to get to that at some point. It is again the Curtis clip of the week. A great job by you.
But it's true. He would be coaching differently when it comes to accountability if he had someone to put them in. You know, I was moved to right field in Little League. I would have been moved to the bench if we had 10 players. Like,
maybe he doesn't hate you. Maybe you allow him to speak freely without,
right.
You know, give a little bit of truth serum.
Right. I get the dink residue, and he just gets the answer. So, but I feel like, of course, we agree it would be unfair. I think he came into this position believing they were going to spend, either if that was, you know, directly communicated or insinuated. And when Bill Belichick didn't get a job, that it partially by the work of the Crafts, if you believe some people, then they changed the manner in which they spent, because $30 million was back on the hook for Bill Belichick to do nothing. So,
now, separate question, would it be the right thing to do if you're Robert Kraft? Not fair, but is it the right thing for the franchise?
If I were Robert Kraft, it depends on the options, right? I mean, we're only as loyal as the options. So I would say if there is the potential that Ben Johnson or
Vrabel. Mike Vrabel.
If Vrabel wants to come here, I would think long and hard about it. Absolutely. I don't know. Vrabel would be a sexy hire that would really reinvigorate the fan base. In order to get to that point, I think you're going to need to see players not play the rest of the way. Like, you're going to have to see a truly questionable. Right. You're never going to have what, you know, when people talk about other coaches getting fired, the Urban Meyer thing was a fiasco. I mean, it was a fait accompli that he was out. It just was a disaster. He was staying by himself at some bar in Columbus. He was kicking people. I mean, it was totally different than this. You know, when you look at Bobby Petrino, wasn't he 1 year or whatever with the Falcons? I mean, those were college guys that went pro that were total unmitigated disasters. This hasn't been that, right?
It's been at times disastrous, I guess. I mean, they are 3-9. It's not good. I mean, this is one of the worst seasons in Patriots history if they continue this way. So it's not a disaster because of May, but based on some of his decisions and the performance of his unit, the defense, it's been pretty bad. I mean, I like him personally. You know, I want to give him a chance. I agree it's not fair, but I'm leaning towards it's just not working out. He's got to convince me, and I would assume some other Patriots fans, in these last 5 weeks that he's got a handle on it. I guess to his defense, he pointed this out to you in the Monday interview, Curtis. They did not quit at halftime. They could have. It was an epically bad first half. They did kind of hang in there. That's a good sign. I mean, his team didn't totally quit on him. But But that report about laughing in the locker room is damning. That is not good.
It's damning, but if I were Jerod Mayo, and I'm sure he has someone representing him, I would say this in his defense. What you are seeing today is a continuation of what you saw last year, that the team is not cohesive, that they are middling. There are games, 2 to 3 games a year, where they don't show up and get blown out in the first half in a way that we haven't seen in 25 years. You know, you go back to last year, the Saints game, 24-0, Bill punting it. Remember what we were talking about in that one? Mm-hmm. How dare you punt? Did you quit? People are asking Mayo if he quit this year. It is the roster. And it is at a point where they are so bereft of talent that it looks almost on purpose. It looks like they don't care. When Jelani Tavai is not a middle linebacker in the NFL, can we agree on that? Like, he's not quick enough. I don't know what it is. He is a good, you know, outside guy that can pass rush or, you know, with specific tasks, he's good. He is not a starting middle linebacker on a good defense in the NFL. And the Patriots roster is just full of people. Look at the offensive line is awful. The receivers are awful. The offensive coaching is atrocious. Like, their kicker, I don't know what his deal is. Their punter kicks it 70 yards from the 40 into the stands. And it gets you net 10 yards, and he thinks he's, you know, Paul Bunyan. Like, the whole team sucks.
Honestly, Brendan Schooler's their second-best player. I mean,
right. But that's what the case. When Bill was here, that was also the case. Their best player was their best unit was their special teams.
Yeah. No, he's definitely he doesn't have a lot to work with. But just if you were asked, I mean, some of the worst coaches that we've witnessed in our lifetime are Red Sox one and done guys, right? It's Joe Kerrigan when I was in college here. It's Bobby V. And it's Ron Renicky, your buddy.
Oh.
Doesn't this feel like
somebody
some of those
up.
Years? I mean, the Mayo season kind of feels like one of those.
It does, but I think we also have selective amnesia. Like, we have a text saying that this team would be a playoff team with Belichick because he'd have Drake May. First of all, Bill Belichick hates quarterbacks. You're wrong about him having Drake May. Listen, go back to the draft and see what he had to say about that. 2023, here are the quarterbacks they beat. Zach Wilson. They beat Josh Allen. Big win. Mm-hmm.
That's big.
They beat Kenny, bring your own Pickett. And they beat the Russell Wilson. No, was Russell Wilson even playing in that Broncos game? Let me see. Hold on. Make sure I get this correct.
Yeah, he was. Well, Russell Wilson beat him at the end, didn't he? You mean last year or 2 years ago?
Didn't they win on Christmas Eve against the Broncos? Am I losing my mind?
I thought that was the game they... Yeah, they did win. You're right. They won, and they shouldn't have. That's what cost them the higher pick.
Right. So they beat Russell Wilson, Zach right. Wilson. They beat two Wilsons, Josh Allen, and Kenny Pickett. They did not play the same caliber of quarterback that this team has played this year. And
you mean like Mason Rudolph?
Well, okay, do you want to go back through the quarterbacks they faced this year? They faced Aaron Rodgers. They faced Joe Burrow. They faced, I don't know, I have the full schedule in front of me right now, but they have faced much better offensive competition than they did last year. They went 4-13 last year, and they only beat Zach Wilson, Russell Wilson, Kenny Pickett, and they beat Zach Wilson twice. That was it. That was their year.
So you're Team Mayo. You want to give him another year. That's what I'm hearing. It's not.
Well, I'm telling you that to say that Bill Belichick would be a playoff team with this roster is to ignore the history that we just witnessed.
617-779-7937. What should they do with Mayo? Keep him or punt him after 1 year? Is this season in comparison to some of the worst jobs in a one-year coach in Boston sports history? We'll hear that Curtis question from Monday because I do think it's important. Curtis got him again. They loosened him up and he got a little something out of him. We'll hear that next.
Yep.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Gerard, I just interesting because I feel like you may be coaching differently if you had pieces to sub in for guys that were making mistakes. Is that just a fair blanket statement without calling anybody out in particular?
That's a fair assessment.
So you know you're putting Mayo in jeopardy there. That's a big one. That's him calling out his bosses. I mean, Elliot Wolf's kind of not his boss, I guess, and that's maybe directly Curtis who he's calling out there, but that question is one that could get Mayo sent packing. Could be your fault. Could be blood on your hands.
Another notch on the belt. I just hope Ben Volen had to transcribe that. No, I mean, it's an accurate statement. And, you know, wouldn't we all make changes if we had better people to do the things that are irritating us? Like, if he could bring in a left guard that, or a left, whatever position the guy was that was getting all the holding calls last week, he would have replaced him. But replace him with who?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
And the other thing is let's say Gerard Mayo benches the left tackle that can't play, and they put in the guy that wasn't good enough to beat out that left tackle, and then that guy misses a block, and Drake May's done for the year. It's no longer Elliot Wolf's fault. It's now Gerard Mayo's, if that makes sense. So he kind of has to do it this way and play he's been dealt.
Wouldn't Elliot Wolf say, we signed a guy, Chukwuma Okorafor, for $30 million, and he wouldn't play with you? I don't know what he signed for. It was less than that. It was less money. Sorry, that was his deal with the Steelers. What was he, like $4 million? Fine. They brought in a tackle, one-year tackle, $4 million.
But where is
quit.
He now?
He hated you so much he quit.
Right. So if he was playing for someone else successfully, then Elliot Wolf would have a point.
Well,
the guy sucked so bad he quit.
I don't know.
I mean, I just saw him. I think he was on a golf cart down here. I mean, he's just counting his cash. I mean, what they did this offseason was do everything Bill did without Bill. They didn't spend. They got the quarterback. Maybe Bill would have taken Drake May at 3. That's the big difference. But
they resigned all Bill's guys.
They kept the guys that Bill had brought in.
Yep.
And their approach to free agency was, we have a set number. We're not going to get moved off of it. And I don't know. I have so little faith in Robert Kraft. I have more faith in the Red Sox brain trust.
Now we're talking.
Than I do in the Patriots. Because if ever there was... Oh, here's another nugget about speaking of the Grosbecks and estates. I was told by someone who would know pretty well that they don't believe Jonathan's going to continue running the team, that he will likely sell it.
Wow. The Crafts will sell.
Yeah.
Woo. That is a blockbuster.
That because I said, you know, everything I hear about Jonathan, I don't know him at all, never met him, was that if you don't like Robert, you're going to hate Jonathan. And that he's tough to work with, and that's been the, you know, the scuttlebutt behind the scenes. And obviously, as I said, I don't know him, never met him. But I was told that it's very much within the realm of possibility that this is something that he will not entertain, and that the family is, you know, that this gentleman I was speaking with is impressed by the fact that many other kids would have stabbed their dad in the back with all the stuff, and that it's actually pretty noteworthy that he has steadfastly remained at his side, despite the high chair next to him.
I mean, I don't know anything about Jonathan Kraft, but it is interesting to note that he has withdrawn. He used to speak to the press a little bit, mostly to the flagship, but now not at all. And it just appears, from a layman's point of view, that he's not as into it. He doesn't love it. I would agree with that.
So, you know, I don't know if that's what that means or whatever. Maybe John Henry buys the Patriots.
Maybe Bezos buys Celtics and Patriots.
Right. Or if Elon Musk just gets the Patriots a stadium on the moon.
Right.
Or
on Mars.
Go from there. Yeah. Mars, that's right.
In the meantime, let's go to the phones, Curtis. Let's talk to your fans. Let's talk to Coach in New Hampshire on Mayo's future. Hello, Coach.
Yeah, as far as Mayo's future, I think there's two types of people in this world, and there's some who make mistakes, admit their fault, and they learn and grow from it, and some who cannot. So I would wonder which person is Robert Kraft. Secondly, the other thing about human nature is when you go to get rid of a coach, it's really helpful if you have someone like a Ben Johnson or a Bobby Slowick or a Cliff Kingsbury on the other end dangling, knowing that here's I'm going to leave this person because I got this other person waiting. So is that even a possibility that someone would be interested in the Patriots job? So those are my two human comparisons. Thanks, guys.
Well, thanks, Coach. I mean, Curtis just said earlier, you know, we brought up Ben Johnson, and you said right away he's not coming here.
Right. I mean, if you're willing to – I mean, the last time, if I have my timing correct, did Kraft inherited Parcells, right? Or did he hire him? Mm. When was Parcells brought in when they bought the team? I should remember this. I know. I'm sorry.
It was 93, but I don't recall the exact timing of it. But I think he hired Parcells. I think that was one of his first decisions. I'll have to go back and check that.
Anyway, we'll go back and get the exact details on this. So the fact is, the organization would improve dramatically in its value if you bring in a guy like Ben Johnson, who is someone that can clearly take Drake May to the next level. It immediately puts you in the playoff conversation, right? If you have a great offensive mind with a very good to great young quarterback, so that would really shift things. My concern is, I don't think they're firing Elliot Wolf. Do you?
I wouldn't rule it out, especially if you're saying that. Now, when is this ownership change soon as possible? Like, could it happen like this offseason or no?
No. I don't think.
Oh, okay.
I mean, all right. It would have to be.
If that's the case, then everybody gets blown out, and that's easy. It's just a whole fresh start.
Right. I guess.
I would say Wolf could be fired just as easily as Mayo. Why would one be less likely?
Because I feel like Elliot Wolf was given the title following the draft. So that, to me, gives the tacit approval from ownership that they like the draft. They then give him this deal as the executive director of player personnel as of, May of 2014? So you're going to, or May of 2023, so you're going to fire him. No, May of 2014, you'll fire him in 2025. I don't know. That would be surprising to me. I don't know why. I don't know why that would be more surprising. I just feel like he's doing what the Crafts want him to. Whereas Mayo, you can make the point that he's lost the locker room or he's done certain things that they obviously would have no bearing on.
You can reach the show, 617-779-7937. A couple texters saying that Orthwein hired Parcells and Kraft bought it afterwards. So
right, that's what I thought. So maybe this would make the value of the franchise a little bit better.
All right. So you got all that going on. But you just said it, Curtis. You have more faith in the Red Sox ownership group. I love that. That means you're getting sucked up into the Soto sycophants. I don't know how to put that in proper phrasing. But there are some reports out there, including my man, Mike Rodriguez, MLB insider I had never heard of until this week, but I have now. And we'll dive into that Soto report.
Big day for outlet shopping. I can't
wait. It could happen today. It's going to happen before the winter meetings. That is the scuttlebutt.
When are the winter meetings? And how many shows are you sending there?
I mean, I'm not a we have the big jingle all the way next week, so probably out for
That's
us.
Right.
But I've thought about it, and I'll consider it. But let's talk about.
We should just send Jackson. He can just cover it live.
That would be great, actually. Let's consider that, and let's talk Soto next.